Good morning, and let me begin our time together by reading these words from Psalm 103 as our call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, let's stand to sing that psalm now, Psalm 103, and we'll sing the first 10 verses, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 10.
Oh, thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that's in me is. Be stirred of his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, oh my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful me. Of all his gracious benefits, he hath bestowed on thee. All thine iniquities to God, most graciously forgive. Diseases, all and pains, doth heal and relieve. Who doth redeem thy life that thou to death mayest not go down? Who thee with loving kindness doth and tender mercies crown. Who with abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth, so that even as the eagles age, renewed is thy youth. God righteous judgment executes for all oppressed ones. His ways to Moses he made known, his acts to Israel's sons. The Lord our God is merciful, as he is gracious, long suffering and slow to wrath, in mercy plenteous. He will not chide continually, nor keep his anger still. With us he dealt not as we sin, nor did requite our ill.
Please be seated. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are such a great God and greatly to be praised. We acknowledge that you are splendid in majesty, that you are clothed in righteousness, that you are matchless in your excellence, and that you are abundant in your grace. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious. slow to anger, abounding in covenant love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, nor deal with us according to our iniquities. And we thank you for all of the rich blessings and benefits that we have through our union with Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. We thank you that in him we have died to sin, and in him we have been raised to newness of life. And we thank you that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the exalted Christ. We praise you for all of the blessings that you have lavished upon us. We thank you that we are your people and that we belong to you, body and soul, in life and in death. And we pray that as we come before you now this morning, as we read your word and then hear it preached, we pray that you would open our eyes by your Spirit, that we might behold wondrous things in your law. May you change us, renew us, sanctify us, we pray, according to your truth and by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. As I'm sure you'll know, just before these verses, Paul has been describing a great spiritual experience that he had enjoyed 14 years earlier when he was caught up into the third heaven and received visions and revelations from the Lord. But having ascended the mountaintops of Christian experience, Paul goes on to say these words: "So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Amen. It seems to me that these verses teach us one of the chief features that characterizes a Christian. And that feature is this: a Christian is someone who recognizes his own utter weakness, but who at the same time has an unswerving conviction in God's absolute power. A Christian is someone who knows their total insufficiency, but who trusts in the all-sufficient grace of Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone had reason to think that he was sufficient in himself, then surely it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, who among God's servants accomplished more for the sake of Christ and for the gospel? But in these verses, we see Paul, the great apostle, testifying to the fact that far from looking for his sufficiency in himself, he had come to learn that his sufficiency came entirely and exclusively and only from the grace of God. I've got two brief points that I want to make from our passage this morning. The first one is the grace of suffering, and then the second one is the grace which is sufficient. So first of all, the grace of suffering. What was it that led Paul to testify that God's grace was sufficient for him? Well, we're told, aren't we, in verse 7, "So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated." It was suffering, quite simply, that kept Paul from boasting in himself. It was affliction that kept him from being too elated, too conceited, too full of himself. It was what Paul calls his thorn in the flesh. Now, we're not quite sure what this thorn in the flesh was. Perhaps it was some kind of mental affliction. Perhaps it was more of a physical defect. We can't be absolutely sure. But we can be sure of this, that it came from the hand of the Lord. Notice that. Paul says, doesn't he, that he was given a thorn in the flesh. It was something that was given to him by the Lord. But at the same time, notice that Paul also calls his thorn a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan that was, he says, sent to harass me. And so here we see, don't we, the all-encompassing, all-embracing, absolute, total sovereignty of God. Such is the Lord's sovereignty that he even uses Satan to accomplish his good and pleasing and perfect purposes. No doubt Satan wanted to afflict Paul with a thorn in the flesh that would totally destroy him, that would totally destroy him. But God's purpose, well, that overrode, that confounded the purpose of Satan. God's purpose in afflicting Paul was entirely merciful. It was to keep his apostle from becoming too elated. And this means, doesn't it, that when we experience suffering, when we go through affliction, we can rest in the knowledge that God is in complete sovereign control. God will sometimes send afflictions your way, but never to destroy you, never to punish you, only ever to humble you, only ever to make you increasingly like his son. This is the grace of suffering. It's in suffering that we are made increasingly like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you can testify to the reality of that. Now, of course, this does not mean, does it, that afflictions do not hurt. Of course they do. They're still afflictions, after all. And Paul is honest about the pain that his own particular thorn in the flesh gave to him. It caused him such agony that he pleaded with the Lord three times that he might take it away from him. That's what we're told in verse 8. He was desperate for the Lord to relieve him of his agony. And maybe there have been times when you have cried out to the Lord that he might relieve you of a particular affliction. And perhaps, as in the case with Paul, the Lord hasn't taken away your affliction. He hasn't relieved you of your pain. What then? We'll look down at verse 9. But he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And this brings me to my second point, the grace which is sufficient. The grace which is altogether sufficient. Affliction led Paul, you see, to recognize that he was not sufficient in himself. He wasn't even close to being so. Instead, through his thorn in the flesh, Paul learned that God's grace was sufficient for him. That grace which is, for the believer, an ever-present reality, regardless of how critical your circumstances. Just think about it. How depressing would it be if our sufficiency came from ourselves? How depressing would that be? We'd always, constantly, have to measure up. And we'd never make it. We'd never make it. It would destroy us. But knowing that God's grace is sufficient for us means that we don't have to measure up. Why? Because we rest in Christ's worth. We rely upon Christ's work. We take refuge in the strength of Jesus Christ. And herein lies one of those delightful Christian paradoxes. Trying to be strong in yourself actually makes you weak. But being weak in yourself actually makes you strong. Because it's in our weakness that God's power is, as we read, made perfect. It's in our weakness, in other words, that God's power is fully demonstrated and made visible in our lives, so that all the glory goes to him and none to us. You see, through his thorn in the flesh, Paul learnt in fresh ways the frailty of his humanity. That he was but the dust of the earth, totally dependent upon the Lord, totally dependent upon the Lord for life and for breath and for everything else. That's what it means here to be weak. It means to recognize your creatureliness. It means to recognize that you are not God, that you never will be God, and to humbly, gladly accept that. You know, as Christians, perhaps especially as ministers and elders, we need to accept that we are not in charge at the end of the day. We are not in charge. We are not the authors of our lives. We are not the determiners of our destiny. God is, and only God is. And you see, it's living in this way, it's living in that conscious dependence upon the Lord, that we then experience real power to live as we are meant to live. And this is why Paul says in verse 9 that he boasts gladly in his weaknesses. He boasts gladly, it's remarkable, isn't it? He boasts gladly in his weaknesses. We need to remember, I think, that Paul's ministry, and you see this throughout the second letter to the Corinthians, his ministry had been coming under severe attack from so-called super apostles. Men who were basically saying that Paul was just too weak, too insubstantial, too insignificant, too human, I suppose, to be a true apostle. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't great enough. There was something pathetic about the Apostle Paul. And what's so interesting is that Paul responds, not in a sense by fighting back, saying, yes, I am strong. Yes, I am great. He responds by freely admitting that, yes, he is weak. And in fact, it's his weakness that validates, that authenticates his apostolic ministry. He even boasts gladly in his weaknesses. That is what authenticates his apostolic ministry. Why? Because he knew that in his weaknesses, the power of Christ would rest upon him. Jesus Christ, in all of his grace and power and glory, would be seen in and through the very weaknesses of his apostle. It would literally pitch his tent upon him, dwelling in him as the Shekinah glory dwelt in the tabernacle of old. You see, it's Jesus Christ who had, as Paul goes on to say in the very next chapter, been crucified in weakness, but who now lives by the power of God. It's Jesus Christ who would, by his Spirit, impart his resurrection power to his weak and frail servants. In union with his Lord, in union with his resurrected Savior, Paul experienced power in affliction, strength in weakness, resurrection in death. You see, his life was patterned after that of his master's. Jesus' life was the blueprint for Paul's, and the same is true for you. I wonder, are any of you all too conscious of your own weaknesses, perhaps overwhelmed by the burdens of ministry, perhaps enervated of all strength, wondering how you're going to carry on? Maybe you feel that every single day. remember, it's in your very weakness, in your frailty, in your creatureliness, that Christ's power rests upon you. It's in the weaknesses, the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the calamities, that Christ proves the sufficiency of his grace to you. And so, for his sake, you can be content with these things. You can even, dare I say it, take pleasure in sufferings endured for the sake of Christ. For through Christ it is when you are weak that you are actually very strong, strong in him, strong in his resurrection might and power. Friends, he will give you what you need to keep going. His grace is altogether sufficient for you. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us and that your power is made perfect in our weakness. We pray that your power and your grace would indeed rest upon us, that you might somehow be seen in us, in all of the frailty of our humanity, so that all the glory would go to you and none to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll close there. Let me just give a blessing as we finish. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.